man will talk to you a little more about his experience, and he wants to talk about smoking.
After some of the things that I mentioned before, there were a few things that I didn't quite remember. Adnan, when I came to Adnan originally, for the first time, I was much different. There were a lot of things about me that I wasn't really aware of. I first visited the workshop in New York, and when I came, I was pretty adorned. I had a lot of rings on. I wasn't quite certain if I was male or female. I was kind of in a much different place. And I really wasn't aware. I really had no awareness of what was going on. Despite the fact that, as I had said before, that, it come through a lot of addiction, drug addiction. I was addicted to a lot of things that I really didn't even know about. Most of it had to do with myself. And the funny thing about when I came to Adnan was, I didn't come for any specific reason. I didn't come because I was overweight, or because I was, a drug addict all my life, or I was taking, antidepressants, and I was smoking, overeating, and, I didn't come because somebody had told me, I could come to, somebody who could help me with that. I came because, I followed, Maria told me to come, and I thought that was the right thing for me to do, for whatever reasons. But I found that after, just being with Adnan three times, it was three weekends, or three workshops, I think it was, that I attended, things really did begin to change for me, and I just found that I wanted to come back. I really wanted to come back, and it wasn't because anybody told me that I could get rid of these problems or these addictions and these terrible habits that I had. One at a time, they just went away. They just went away, and it wasn't conscious. It was my body just would not tolerate the things that it was tolerating in the past. And the first thing it wouldn't tolerate was only after the suggestion by Adnan that I stop doing it, that I stop drinking coffee. That was the first thing he said to me. And he told it to me once, and I paid very little attention. And the second time, something told me to pay attention, and I really didn't think I could do it. I did not think that I had no intention of even doing it, was the funny thing. I had no intention of stopping to drink coffee. And I went home, as I said, that night, and I didn't think about it at all. In the morning, I just went over to my kitchen, and I took the coffee, and I threw it out. And I never drank another cup of coffee. And another thing, besides the other habits that I got rid of, I had begun smoking again, smoking cigarettes. And I had smoked very heavily when I was very young, and I had stopped when I was, 20 or 21. But through my life, there were times when I would pick up cigarettes, and I was just prone to addiction. Anything I would start doing, I would do in excess. I would do obsessively. And I started to smoke cigarettes when I was in rehabilitation in April of 2007. And I was smoking, 7 or 8 cigarettes a day, but it became a habit. I mean, I wanted to smoke a cigarette. Adnan also suggested to me that I stop smoking cigarettes, and I would sneak them outside the workshop. I'd go around the corner so he wouldn't see me coming out. And I smoke a couple of cigarettes. I'm sure he must have known. But I kept smoking, even after the workshops. I kept smoking, but it was a month later. It was one month, about a month later after the work. I uh, I stopped smoking cigarettes. I just stopped. I don't know. I just stopped. One morning I looked at the cigarettes, and it was an ugly habit. You know, it was a disgusting habit. Like eating was a disgusting habit, like drug addiction was a disgusting habit. All these disgusting habits that were acceptable to me at one time just were not acceptable anymore. And I got repulsed by it. I was also telling outside before, like, you know, when the holidays came around, the Jewish holidays came around this past year in April, in whatever, whenever the devil they were, in September this past October, whatever. Or no, excuse me, this past April. You know, it's you know, we get invited to relatives' house to celebrate the holidays, and my family were just eating and eating and eating and eating, and I could not look at it. I couldn't eat this, and I kept being, you know, thrown. My mom would say, "Here, have some, have chicken, have meat, tapada." I couldn't do it, and I kept saying, "No, thank you." And I just I ate a lot. I mean, I can't describe to you people what the way I ate. I cannot describe to you. On Friday nights, when I used to go to my sister-in-law's house, there'd be a bowl in front of me, and they'd always put it right in front of me with meat and string beans, and oh my God, and I would eat the whole bloody bowl. I mean, I was eating excessively, and after the work, it was a while, I just couldn't eat like that anymore. I could not do it. And I didn't intend it that way, but that's the way it happened. It just happened. I do believe, after listening to Adnan, and that it really had to do with some sort of a purification and some no knowledge, because my mind was telling me to eat. My mind always told me what to do. My mind told me to do a lot of things, get high, take drugs. My mind told me many things, but it had nothing to do with what I was thinking anymore. It just had to do with physically, my body just would not accept it any longer. I could not do it. And I do believe that there was some sort of purification process that, I don't know. I can't. As I said before, I'm sorry. I just can't explain it. I cannot explain it. This was, you know, the only thing I can only thank God that I didn't have to go through 10 practices or disciplines or spiritual masters before I came to Adnan. I was very, very fortunate that someone, Maria, brought me into this work, because, I mean, I did a lot of stuff. I read a lot. Coming from the Jewish faith, I studied with some very, very, very big people, very big rabbis in Israel, here in Brooklyn. I mean, people that were just renowned people. I studied with them for quite some time, and none of them could stop me from getting high, or from alcohol or drugs or antidepressants or smoking or meat. Well, I mean, I don't think they really have the, I don't think they have the heart, I don't think they understand, I don't think they have spirit at all. I just don't think they have it. I know it didn't work for me. That's all I do know. It did not work for me. And with all due respect to those people, and I respect them greatly, it just did not work for me. It did not.
When people deal with the intellect only, they are not capable to go beyond the intellect. And you cannot use the intellect to go beyond the intellect. You cannot stop the mind by the mind. It's all chattering. It's all words. That is called in Arabic mutakallimin. It means the people of the words just talk. But when it comes to something deeper, they stop. the intellect is very powerful. It controls the life of the people from the beginning till the end. It is alluring. There's a power in there to get you deeper and deeper and deeper. And this has been going on through the centuries. It's not something new. The people who look for something deeper called seeker after truth. And the words has nothing to do with that. There is some other force working within, deep, connected with the soul itself. The soul have two parts. One part is the being that won the spirit. The other part, the nature of the soul. That is what diversion and the play. That is very easy to get in, very simple. It's easy to go to a restaurant and easy to drink. So when people want a change, you have to combine both sides of the soul. You could go deeper in seeking the spirit, and then it comes to a place where you cannot go farther. So you change that to the diversion side to make it fun and the play. And then they work together. But if you do only one without the other, it not work. And you combine both, and it is a fun and the play and the pleasure. What make the process like swimming with the wave, not against the wave. You go with the energy, with the moving. If you do things by forcing, it will not work. You cannot be very serious about doing spiritual work. It has to be playful. The nature of the universe is playful. You see the earth, very beautiful. The seas, the mountain, the trees, the animals, the stars, the planet, all in a being in the moment. And that is the only way. To be in the moment, you will acquire the spirit. But if you only in the intellect, it is not possible to be in the moment. The intellect against the moment. That not possible to get in the moment. It only have to be through inner technique that God is accessible through inner knowledge. And God is not accessible through philosophy, books, learning, or the religion itself. They will not be having the power to go to God. God is a spirit and energy that is all over the existence. There is no limit to that power. And there is no end to the universe, and nobody knows where it goes. So the intelligence is part of that power what people have. And to work on the intelligence, to expand it and make it more powerful, the stronger the intelligence of the heart, the more